Today, I'm delighted to be in conversation with Jacinth Bassett. Jacinth is the founder of The Bias Cut, leading pioneer and champion of age inclusivity and the movement Ageism is Never in Style. Welcome, Jacinth.
Hi, Annie. Great to be here.
I would love to hear more about your story, Jacinth, and how you come to be here.
So obviously, I'm the founder of The Bias Cut, which is the first age-inclusive online fashion boutique. And I came about it in a bit of a roundabout way. I had always intended to become a lawyer, and I studied law at university, but I realised I wasn't passionate about it and instead wanted to do something that really made a difference and also addressed an area that I was interested in. And fashion was quite obvious for me. It'd always been one of my long-term passions and love. And quite quickly, I started thinking about my mum and how we've got a very close relationship. And she was gradually feeling alienated by the fashion industry as she got older. You know, we go into shops and she was dismissed or almost sneered at, and online she really struggled to find clothes she would really love to wear. And this was largely because of getting older, essentially, and you know, body changes as women naturally go through as they age. So that was what sort of attuned me to the issue. So all of that together, not wanting to be a lawyer, wanting to maybe go into my own business and address an issue that I was passionate about, combined with this realization, or I think it'd always been there subconsciously, but just becoming more aware of this issue that my mum was facing, made me determined to fight ageism in fashion. And that was really where The Bias Cut was born. I finished university, and as soon as I graduated, I started developing the business. I was 21, 22 at the time. And so I was very conscious that I had responsibility to do a lot of research, really understand the market and get to communicate and connect with women of different ages, particularly over 40. So I started a blog as a way to build a following and conversation and feedback. And then finally in November 2015, I decided I'm just going to do this. So I had very, very small savings and no prior experience or contacts in fashion, retail or marketing or anything. But I decided I'm just going to start almost a soft launch. And eventually we launched in March 2016 with just four small British labels. And that was four and a half years ago. And we've just grown from there. And then with that, I also created the movement Ageism is Never in Style, because one of the things I felt was I didn't want it just to be about my voice and my point of view. I felt it was so important, especially given women, the whole issue is that women increasingly feel invisible as they get older. It would be completely counterintuitive if I then stepped in and was just the only voice that anyone could hear. So I really wanted to create a platform that offered women a space to feel empowered, feel confident, to share their views, to connect with other people who felt the same way as them. And so I think it was around August 2016 that I launched the Ageism is Never in Style movement. And it was primarily on Facebook, but then we launched badges in conjunction with, I think it was 2018 Fashion Week. And we've now got face masks, charities. And so it's gained momentum. And it's wonderful to see women and men, you know, wearing the badges, sharing pictures of them in face masks on social media. Somebody said that they wore their badge to work to make a point to their boss, you know, about being treated poorly because of their age. Yeah, so it's really become this whole platform and movement that unites women and men of all ages to challenge ageism. Obviously, the primary focus is fashion because that's what we're about as a shopping platform. But I do a lot of work on ageism in all areas. You know, I consult charities and organisations and businesses on ageing and age inclusivity of different spectrums. So that's, I guess, everything in a nutshell to date. That's as a whole overview.
It's amazing. And when you were a child, Jacinth, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I decided I wanted to be a lawyer at 13, which is pretty young, I think, to, of all things, I wanted to be a tax barrister. So quite left field. I mean, my parents were lawyers, although they'd never encouraged me to pursue law. They were quite surprised themselves when I suddenly announced I wanted to be a lawyer. But I don't know, I think when I was really young, I wanted to be a doctor or a nurse. And then I realized you had to do night shifts. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not a night person. So I think also I'd always loved fashion. I've had so many Barbie dolls when I was a kid, dressing up. I'd always wanted Barbie's dream house. So a few years ago, my boyfriend bought me for Christmas Barbie's dream house, which sits in my office. And that was the original spark of my love of clothes and fashion. So I always had a very creative side to me. Actually, to be honest, the other thing I wanted to do was act. For a period of time, I wanted to be an actor when I was about, I guess, 10 to 13 or something like that. And then I became very academic. So I don't know if suppressed is the right word, but I sort of put my creativity to one side. I channeled it. My other great love in life is dance. So I do a lot of dance. So I was creative in other ways, but and quite crafty, but really my focus was academia from around the age of 12, 13. So that's when I decided I wanted to be a lawyer. And then really what's lovely is now I've been able to combine two worlds. You know, you have to be very business orientated and focused and logical, but at the same time I get to design, I work in fashion, you know, creative, so I've been able to do both.
And I imagine that you get to perform in some way as well by way of the acting, that you are a spokesperson for the movement and for helping women find their voice.
I've always been quite comfortable with public speaking, which I've always thought I was quite lucky because I know how many people are terrified of it. So yes, there's definitely that performance side of things presentation that I get to enjoy. And, you know, who knows, maybe one day I'll dip my toe back into acting in a local theatre production or something. If I'm any good. I'm not even sure I'm any good at acting. But the good thing is I still do a lot of dance as well. So I find dance is a great way to express yourself. So I do that locally. But yes, exactly. There is those creative sides that I get to enjoy.
And there is something about expression in all that you do, by the sound of it, expression of identity or of who you are, and encouraging women especially, but not exclusively, to express themselves through fashion.
Yeah, well, I'm very much believe that clothes are an extension of how we feel and our personality, whether it's that it's to express who you are or who you want to be. What you put on is always affects. I mean, there's a very strong, it's called enclosed cognition, very strong connection proven scientifically between what you wear and how you feel and the way you behave. So I think whatever you choose to wear, whether it's, you know, a glamorous dress or whether it's a tracksuit, you make a conscious decision every day to put on certain clothes, and that's going to affect the way you feel. And say, whether it's going to reflect how you are feeling or it's going to put you in a different frame of mind. And that's why I think it's really important to recognize the power of clothes and the importance that of diversity and inclusivity in the fashion industry, because it's about identity and self-value and worth. And if you're not represented, then naturally you're going to feel you're not as worthy. So I think it's really important. I think the fashion industry has a responsibility to encourage and to champion diversity and inclusivity, and to offer clothes that will allow women of all ages and shapes and sizes to feel good about themselves. And that was the root thing with my mum, was she wanted to wear beautiful clothes, and she's always loved fashion style. I mean, when she was younger, she had a seamstress and a dressmaker, and yet she couldn't find the clothes that she wanted to wear to feel good. So she would often compensate with jewelry or shoes, which, you know, is fabulous, but it's not necessarily what, you know, she wanted to wear a dress. And so I think that's where there are still a lot of, particularly with body shapes, there's a lot of space and growth that needs to take place in the fashion industry to understand that innate need and desire, and it's not superficial. And I think particularly during this pandemic, it's been quite interesting how we have seen a shift actually in attitudes, I think, towards clothes during the pandemic. Once upon a time, it was very easy to dismiss clothes as being very superficial and, a vanity project. And yet, after I saw a lot of women and content where people were sort of, after about 2 weeks of the luxury of wearing their pajamas at home for 2 weeks or whatever, they suddenly felt it wasn't as enjoyable as they realized, and it wasn't making them feel good, and they weren't in the right positive or productive state of mind. So actually they were increasingly realizing that actually getting up and putting on a nice blouse or even just a pair of statement earrings would make them feel better. It's been quite an interesting shift, because you could say it, you would think at the beginning of the pandemic people would go, the last thing that matters is clothes, you know, and that's not a big deal anymore. And yeah, I think there was that at the very beginning. But actually, people were starting to go, actually, it does make a difference. And that's what we're about, is making that difference and just boosting confidence and self-esteem. So you can be the best version of who you want to be right now.
I think that's so important. And I, in my work as a leadership consultant and coach, that's what I think I help people be, the best version of themselves, the best that they can be, which is very similar to your passion for helping women and men be the best that they can be, and for their clothes to reflect who they are and to help them feel good. One of my big encouragements at the moment is for people to have their camera on. So many people on Zoom and or Teams, either because of bandwidth or whatever, but perhaps sometimes it's because they are not feeling really good about themselves by way of how they look. And then, as you say, in terms of how they feel. Who or what else has inspired you, Jacinth, in terms of your passion to help people be the best that they can be, and for that to be reflected through what they wear and who they are reflected in that way?
One person who's really inspired me is Karen Franklin. She is a fashion activist and commentator. I've met her, I've had the fortune to meet her a couple of times. She's aggressively, in a positive way, are committed to inclusivity and diversity. And you know, she identifies as an activist, a positive fashion activist. And she's co-founded things called All Walks Beyond the Catwalk, where she worked with fashion colleges to encourage diversity-related projects and modules. But also, it's her relentlessness to champion diversity and also integrity. And one talk that I went to of hers that really struck me was called The Power of One, and about how you can feel sometimes you're almost knocking your head against a brick wall, you know, pounding, trying to get through. And I felt like that a lot at the beginning with ageism. When I started, with the idea and the development of the business back in 2013-14, bizarrely, ageism, particularly in fashion, was a relatively new, if not rarely talked about issue. It was obviously, people were aware of it under the surface, but whereas other groups of diversity, such as ethnicity or size or sexuality, have been explored or challenged for quite a lot longer, age hadn't been. And I mean, even today, it's often forgotten about when we just talk about diversity. And I felt very much like I was, you know, going against a brick wall, trying to talk to designers, talk to, well, just even the average person about ageism in fashion, and potential investors go, is that really a problem? And I said, well, have you spoken to your wife? Have you spoken to your mothers? You know, how do they feel? You haven't looked at this. And so Karen Franklin, really, that talk really resonated with me. And what I really loved is she talked about how she had been, when the Harvey Weinstein scandal broke, for many years prior to that, she had been challenging some photographers in the fashion industry who had behaved well with there were allegations of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct, and she had been challenging them, but nobody was interested in the issue at all. And she tried to write articles on them. She said she got to the point where she was literally knocking on people's doors going, why will you work with these people still? And then the Harvey Weinstein scandal broke, and suddenly, because of the zeitgeist, people were willing to listen. And she actually got an article published in a big paper, and the photographers basically got brought down and finally given their just desserts. And that really inspired me, how she had been relentless and committed to her values and her integrity and her beliefs. And she kept going, and she said, it will take a while and it will take time, but something will catch fire and then you'll be able to really make a difference. And so she's somebody I think about a lot whenever I feel like I'm facing a big hurdle or a challenge or, a pushback from people. So she's been a big inspiration.
Oh, it's lovely to hear that. And tell me a little bit more about your values, the values that you bring to who you are and help keep you going, as well as being inspired and encouraged by her.
I've always been one of those people who, as my boyfriend would put it, if there's a black sheep, but 99 people call it white, you'll still be the only one to say it's black. And I've, from a very young age, always stuck by my values and my beliefs, and often probably it's caused me issues or it's not been popular. And yet I've always felt it's important to stand by what you believe in. So that's something I hold on to, and having integrity. And I think, it's something that I certainly strive to ensure we operate as a business and a community, is always to stand by those values and beliefs. And also open-mindedness. I think with ageism, for example, one thing that I've found quite interesting is how, despite as an issue it's become more talked about, we've almost ended up at the other end of the spectrum, where there's quite a lot of negativity now around, if you don't go grey or if you decide to have Botox, then you're an awful person who's denying your age, and therefore you're obviously ageist. And I'm very much of the view, no, it's about choice, and choice to age however you wish to age. And that might mean having Botox. It's about making sure that choice is the right one for you and it wasn't caused by pressure, caused by society or judgment. And obviously there's a lot of people, sadly, particularly, we hear a lot about in Hollywood, who've felt pressured to have work done. Maybe it wasn't the right decision for them, but if it was, it was. And that's something that I feel, operating without judgment and giving people choice, is very important to me. Even with our community, I put my foot down quite a lot if I start seeing negative comments, even about celebrities. They're still people, they're still human beings. We should still operate and act with kindness. I feel that kindness is a word almost used very liberally today, but it's not necessary, people don't necessarily follow through with it. So that's something that I think kindness means being compassionate and understanding, non-judgmental. It's so important to be self-aware as well. And I'm not going to go around saying that I'm, the prime example, because we all have faults and we all slip up. But if you are self-aware and operate in a way that, it's reflective as well, and think, how could I behave differently? How could I have been a better person, been kinder, been more understanding? Then that's what's really important.
That's really lovely and chimes with one of my values, Jacinth, which is around kindness and thinking about how that shows up through behaviour. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things is very much around that open mindset. Certainly, I know for me, when I'm at my best, then I bring that open mindset. I'm curious. I'm non-judgmental. I am kinder. And of course, as you've just said, sometimes I stumble and I'm not always at my best. But it's something which you, I think, powerfully bring in the movement and are encouraging women in particular through the bias cut, that people are kind to themselves and make choices that are kind to themselves as well, and that help them to be their best.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think it's about self-love, self-appreciation, self-worth. And, you know, somebody who has and does struggle also a lot with mental health, it's still a journey for myself. And, you know, it's always one of those things where you'll probably be, I'm certainly crueler to myself than anybody else. I certainly think, you know, I'm my harshest critic. And it's, I think, trying to be kind and understanding of yourself, certainly, and not beat yourself up and forgive yourself is important as much as other people as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of those both ands, isn't it? About mm-hmm. being kind to oneself. And often that's the hardest person to be kind to. But also having people around you. And I know that having a team around you really matters, and that you're very proud of the team that you have. Tell me a bit more about the team.
Yeah, so I've been so fortunate to have an amazing group of people around me. Jodie, who's my number two, she's actually the same age as me. She's been with us for about a year and a half now, and she inspires me on a daily basis. You know, when I met her, I knew she's going to be the person to take this to the next level. And, you know, it was important to me that we had people who work for us also have a compassion and understanding for what we're about. And she tells me about her mum and how her mum's own style has developed and grown in confidence since she's been working for the bias cut. And also she tells me, you know, it's also helped her feel less worried about aging. You know, and I've had other people who've worked for us who've been lovely, but you need someone who can complement your own skills. And I kind of see me and Jodie as almost being opposite sides of the same coin. You know, we have similar, very similar values, but at the same time, we can come at things from different angles. She's got all these amazing ideas. She's really great with video. She's really taken the community as well to the next level. So she's introduced Stories of Style, which are these videos with different women. We actually launched it with Preleaf back in March, but we've got more videos. And that's a celebrity, but we've also, you know, non-celebrities as well, lots of different women taking part. And so I've been really lucky to find her and have someone you can trust and you just know you can bounce ideas off. And, you know, even if you're away, you know that they can take the reins and just take, you know, be perfect. And I know how much customers love talking to her as well. She's so friendly and has a great chat with them. And then also I have, you know, a wonderful PR team and stylist, Claire Ginsler, and makeup, Shari Rendell and Gemma, and, you know, photography with Thea. So it took time to find the right people. And, you know, you work with different people and sometimes you click, sometimes you don't. But if you find the people who you really click with, then they can also introduce you to other people. You can all grow together. I'll be honest, when I was younger, I really struggled to work in teams. I probably wasn't a team person. I was so focused on my own goals. I struggle to work with other people. You know, it's been something that I've learned about teamwork a lot more, but I feel I thrive off having the right people around me. And I think we can all work together. And if ever there was a time you needed to work together, it's right now with the pandemic. And I've been so fortunate to be able to have a group of people who have been just as committed and driven to keep going. And also, you know, they want to help other people feel good. You know, I know how much Jodie loves chatting with customers and followers on social and really want to boost people's spirits. So once you've got those people around you, it just makes all the difference, really.
Sounds like you've got a really great team, and the importance of boosting each other's spirits at the same time as having some of the same values and beliefs, and being able to challenge and support each other in the way that you do. And how you've learned about team working, I think, is very interesting, recognising that perhaps you weren't a natural team worker, but that you've come to it and learned about how to team work. And like you say, now more than ever, team working is so, so important, and connecting with each other and having conversations. And you're very motivated, from what I've read, Jacinth, about creating a global community beyond the team and through stories of style. And it would be lovely to hear more about the global community that you and your team are very passionate about.
I always wanted it to be global, but I think in particular what helped was I've really made some fantastic friends and contacts in America through the work, through the blog, joining these communities on Facebook in particular. I mean, there's some wonderful groups on there. And that was really where I started to meet different women and share stories. There's one group called Forever Fierce, and Catherine, who's the founder, she was very, even though it was about celebrating 40 plus women, she was very open-minded and welcoming of different ages into the conversation. And she really felt like me about the importance of this intergenerational community and connecting with people who share a view about wanting to be inclusive and together. And it's, you know, I remember somebody on her group saying, should we really be having younger women in this group? And she sort of tagged me in, and I sort of said, well, I think, you know, I think if I was in the group basically just pioneering and talk about youth and younger women in 20s, of course it wouldn't be appropriate, but I'm here about championing all ages just as much as you are. And Catherine was really a driving force behind that. So when I went to America a couple of years ago, I actually met with her, and we've become friends. And it was wonderful because we had dinner, and there was about 6 or 7 of us, and we were all different ages at the table. And yet we were all talking about the same issue, you know, talking about age inclusivity, talk about ageism and wanting to embrace and intergenerational relationships. I personally feel my life is richer now that I have friends of all these different ages. And so that was really beautiful. And I've gone to LA since a few times and met with her and more friends. And so that's been where this sort of global movement has, we've got people all over the world, but in particular, I've, you know, made some really lovely friends in the US who have been very supportive of the community and wanting to help grow it into this global event. So, you know, we have badges, the Ageism is Never a Start badges. You know, we get orders in bulk from people in the US or Canada, you know, and Ashton Applewhite, the writer and activist, she took a huge bulk of them and distributed them. She's American at events. And so that's been really lovely. And then what we've done since is we've sort of got this Ageism is Never a Start platform. As I said earlier, we want to really help people share their stories more. So whilst we have our stories of style where people send in clips and we can share them, but we've also launched a new subgroup called Share Your Story. And the aim of it is to essentially connect press and journalists and writers with women over 40 to feature their commentary, feature their stories, because there's so many out there, but it's very hard to, well, first of all, I know from the journalist perspective, most of them don't know who to speak to. So they actually often come to me anyway and say, do you know somebody who could connect me with somebody who could talk about this? And of course, and then there's also other women, and, you know, whereas, you know, you and I, we obviously have the confidence to speak and put ourselves out there. Not many women have that. And I think, you know, we need to give people the platform to feel comfortable and confident to speak. So hopefully this new group that we launched it in September, and we've already got about over 150 women in it. And we've had, you know, PBS contact us wanting to feature women in America talking about, you know, age, and we've got different journalists in it. And I think it's all with the same intentions. By sharing these stories, we are able to collectively inspire one another and also change the narrative around age and aging as well. So I think it's really important to share these stories and for all ages to be engaged with it, because there's so much generational divide at the moment, and the mainstream media can often like to pit age, different generations against each other. And COVID's also obviously done a bad job of that, and politics blaming different groups and generations on the problems. And it's just not, we have so much more in common than we are led to believe. Yes, there are differences. Yes, we maybe have different, as I often joke with them, we have different cultural references, for example, you know. So maybe we don't know the same, necessarily the same songs or TV shows from the 80s or whatever it is. But other than that, we have so much more in common. And I think it's really important as a global community that we support one another and come together to just champion change and support one another.
It's so important that, and you're encouraging me to think about having this conversation with my mother, who is 91, and for whom clothes really matter. It's the one kind of thing that she takes great pride in, how she dresses. She always has. And I think that the next time I visit her, I will definitely have a conversation with her about style and about clothes and acknowledge her for her style, really, which I realise is something that matters to her. And looking good truly helps her feel good. I'd never really thought about having that conversation with her.
Yeah, I think what's been really lovely is how much people have said to me that they have had conversations with family and friends of different ages about it. Somebody, a model, said to me that, you know, once she'd got our ageism is never a star badge, she started having a conversation. I think she's in her 50s, and she started chatting. She emailed us and said, you know, it got my teenage daughter and son to start having a chat with us. And, you know, I've had, actually, it's wonderful. The badges are so, it's been, to be honest, the funny thing with the badges is I didn't even know if they were going to be a success. It was like a 11-hour decision just before Fashion Week. And I just thought that let's just do these badges. It'll be a hit or a miss. And it was meant to be a 1-week thing. And they were so successful that, you know, people have told me how they'll be wearing them out and about, and people would literally go, can I have that? And so they take the badge. And then someone said to me that, you know, even the post office, they started chatting with the lady at the counter about it. And again, my friends my age have got badge on their bags, and it has, I was in the V&A even, and a member of staff asked if she could have it and put it on her lanyard, you know. And I think it's these conversations that we need to be having. Today, generally speaking, the only people who don't get what we're doing, I have found, and yes, obviously I'm generalizing here, are young men. And I've actually said to them, or they'll go, oh, isn't that a really niche market? Is that really a thing? And I'll say, have you spoken to your mothers? Have you spoken to your aunts, you know, grandmothers? And they're like, oh, okay, maybe I will chat with them. And then it gets them to think. So I think these conversations are so important. And the other thing is as well about fashion and style is, you know, it's a multi-billion pound industry. I think the stat I heard was that, I think it's Chelsea and Knightsbridge alone brings in more money with fashion than the entire of, I think it's the fishing industry in the UK. And that's not to dismiss the fishing industry at all. But it was Fashion Roundtable is a organisation that works with parliamentary groups to bring fashion industry issues to the forefront. And I'm on the advisory committee on their diversity paper. And what they were saying was they realised with, you know, say with Brexit conversations, we were talking a lot about other industries, but fashion was completely being forgotten about and was never mentioned. And they were, this is, do you realise how much, you know, many lives are dependent on this? And again, you know, how much difference it can make. We also hear so much negativity around fast disposable fashion, which is something I really don't, you know, I'm not I'm against. But again, fashion can be really great and it can have a really positive impact on communities around the world, you know, with artisan techniques and traditional craftsmanship. I always remember going to, when I was in India in, I think it was about 2016, a few years ago, something like that. And, you know, going to these beautiful small little workshops where they were creating these saris. And, you know, I've got these gorgeous photos. And, you know, these are people's livelihoods. That they're still very traditional techniques. They were in, you know, good working conditions. Yes, there's obviously a real problem that there are some awful working conditions that has to be addressed. But, you know, there's a real positive impact that fashion can have both on our own self-esteem and how we feel, and also on our economy and our livelihoods. And I think that's really important that we have these conversations because it gets such negative press a lot of the time.
It's great that you're having these conversations and that you're talking about these things in a number of different forums. And the other thing you haven't mentioned, but I know that you do, you support charities and you've been doing that.
On a smaller scale, we've done things with Save the Children. And also last year, I hosted and styled the Lewisham Council because I'm from Lewisham, born there. Their Age Against the Machines, so they had an age festival. So I hosted and styled their fashion show and auction, which was great fun. And it was all clothes made in a time bank community. That was just so much fun. And then this year, we've really been supporting Hospice UK. I wanted to do something, you know, with the pandemic. And I decided Hospice UK was meant a lot to me because of, my grandma, when she was dying of a brain tumour, she received palliative care from her local hospice. There was also a hospice near my school that we used to support quite a lot, Christmas Hospice, who then also again supported family friends when they were dying. So, and I just was reading more about the impact, you know, with COVID. I think they rely on, you know, the majority of their fundraising comes from shops and events. And of course, no one could do those. So, you know, a real risk of closure of hospices. And, you know, to think about how hard it is without the pandemic, and then to add that on top. So we first did a campaign called Look for the Rainbow Hearts and Stars. So everything featuring a heart or a rainbow or a star motif on our website, we donated 25% of proceeds from sales to Hospice UK. And then we also launched our face masks in May. And £5 per face mask goes to Hospice UK. And we've done, earlier this month, it was Hospice Care Week. So we did a special mask for that as well. So we're ongoing with our support for them. And we're also looking at other charities as well. I'm particularly interested in menopause charities and women's well-being as well. So again, if you have a platform and a space to be able to make a difference, you have a responsibility to use it as best as you can.
It absolutely comes across, Jacinth, that you feel that sense of responsibility, and that because you have a platform and the platform's growing even bigger, you want to make an even bigger difference.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, what would you like to see happening for the business and for the community that you're growing?
Yeah, so particularly given the bleak winter that we look like we're facing, we're definitely focusing a lot more on supporting the community with more content, more stories, more hopefully inspirational conversation, and also just conversation starters. And we've started doing online chats and live interviews, and I teamed up with Get Set Up, which are a US organization that connects people, but means all ages again are welcome, but it's primarily focused at over 50s, and they're just community hours. And so we hosted our first sort of fashion chat with ladies on that, and that was great fun. And again, these are women in different countries, and majority were in America. And you know, we just had a chat about shopping online, and we're looking at doing more around color and print, because that's something that a lot of women would love to be able to, they would love to wear, but a lot of women lack the confidence to feel they can wear those colors. You know, it's such a common phrase I hear, which is, I'd love to wear that, but I can't. So we're going to be doing more around that. Hopefully also bringing in more badges. Let's be honest, the focus for anyone's plan for this year didn't exactly go as planned. But I really hope next year we can do more physical events. We did start doing some panel events last year. So I'd love to do some more panel events and community groups. I also found a year ago a group called Advocates for Aging, which connects actually in people working in areas around aging and ageism. Everyone sort of knows one another indirectly, but not there's, you know, we need to come together and really build on our resources and our joint intentions and goals and missions. So that's something that I want to focus more on next year. And hopefully, as I say, we'll be able to do some more physical things, more talks, more gatherings and events. You know, whenever we do, say, pop-ups in the past, we've always combined it with interactive community talks or events. Actually, I know you had Karen Dobras on your podcast, and that was where she came along to one of those about, it must have been pretty much exactly a year ago now. She came along to one in Brighton. So that's something that I would really love to be able to do more of, is build on that. And then obviously with the global aspect, maybe one day, I mean, I keep getting asked if I'll go over to the US and do some events there, which would be amazing. But that might be a little bit further in the future, given what's going on. But really, I think our primary focus is just feeling like we want to support and inspire one another, and whether that's through the boutique with, you know, really beautiful clothes, and we're really focusing on sustainability and also supporting whilst we have different you know, we have designers from different countries, we particularly focus on British designers, and we've got some amazing smaller British jewelry brands, for example. So there's the support there, and then there's the supporting of the community. And let's say we're also looking at some other charity collaborations too. So there's, you know, there's a lot on the horizon. It's just bringing it all together, and obviously managing what's going on around us. I think one of the things that I'm very fortunate about, you know, going back to what we were saying with the team, is just we're very passionate, so we're able to respond very quickly. And because we've also got our community, we can really listen to what our community is wanting and needing and respond to that and give them the support that they are looking for. So that's really important. And that's what we're focusing on.
Thank you, Jacinth. That's a really great place, I think, to draw our conversation to a close and to encourage people to get in touch with you through the website and to know that they will be listened to, that they will be supported, that they will become part of a community. Is there anything else you would like to encourage women to do as a final word?
Well, I always say, and this comes back to style, is, and it comes back to what we're talking about with, you know, self-love and worth and confidence, is when anyone ever asks me for a style tip, I just say, give anything a go, because you might be really pleasantly surprised. And if something catches your eye, if now is more than ever the time to just go for it and try it. And if it makes you feel good, I always remember this woman who said to me, and she did look great in it, but it was irrelevant. She was wearing this really fabulous skirt, and she said, I don't even care if it doesn't look good on me. The colors just make me smile. And whenever I see it, even hanging up in my wardrobe or over the air side of my bed, it just makes me smile. And I thought that was just perfect. And if there's ever a time right now that we need to feel good and smile, you know, it's now. And I think, you know, same with whether if you want to put on a fancy dress and still go and do the cleaning, do it. You know, there's nothing stopping you. So I just do yourself the service and favor and love. Just try new things, whether it's a color, it's a print, it's a way of styling. Have fun with it, because, you know, fashion is not life or death, but it is a joy that we can bring to ourselves, and it's a gift to ourselves that we can just cherish and have fun with.
Thank you, Jacinth. It's been lovely being in conversation.
Thank you so much. It was lovely talking to you.
You have made me smile, and I shall look at my wardrobe in a different way and look for that colour and what gives me joy. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Annie.